We've come to a really exciting part in our church service where we would like to induct Broderick Story into the position of executive pastor. And so I'm just going to ask that you would welcome both Brod and Sheridan to the stage together as we induct Brod. Certainly been looking forward to this time in our service together. This is a very significant moment for us as a church as we move into the new tomorrows that God has planned for us. I'd also like to invite the leadership up on the stage at this point as well. So the leadership can come up on stage. I'd appreciate that. What I'm about to read through are some fairly important promises when it comes to fulfilling a role in a local church. One of the things that I know for me that I feel the most when it comes to responsibility is to be an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. Now, we're not perfect, we're saved by grace, but one of the huge responsibilities that you have, Brod, is to be an example to us at CBC. What does it look like to follow Jesus Christ? So with these very serious questions, I'm going to give you an opportunity to reply to these questions, Brod. And I might get a microphone handy, if that's okay, for Brod. Yes, Neil has that. Thank you. Brod, so that your faith and your integrity as God's servant may be apparent to all, I now ask you to answer the following questions. Do you now own and confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? And do you affirm again your faith in the power of the gospel to save all who believe?
I do.
And Brod, do you pledge yourself to be zealous for God, to love the Lord Jesus and his people, and to be faithful and responsible in carrying out your call to his church to work in a team ministry in the areas of your giftedness?
With God's help, I do.
I'm also going to ask us as CBC community, because we share together in ministry with Brod. And I'm going to ask you this fairly lengthy question, and I guess your approval is really seen in your willingness to stand. So allow me to ask you this question. I now ask the congregation of Caringbah Baptist Church to affirm your loyalty to Jesus Christ and his people, to affirm your commitment to be faithful and responsible in administration of the gifts God has given you, and to affirm your willingness to work with Brod in humility, love, encouragement, and prayer to achieve the purposes of God in the areas that God has called Brod to. Will you show your now signifying your desire, your willingness to stand alongside Brod by standing yourself?
Big moment, yeah. We have a statement now that I'm going to read, and then we'll be praying over Brod and Sheridan as well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and by the authority vested in me, by this congregation, I now induct you, Brod, or Broderick Story, mate, friend, and fellow family member, to the charge, pastoral charge, as executive pastor of Caringbah Baptist Church. And we are persuaded that you are truly called of God to this particular ministry, to the glory of God and to the edification of the body of Christ. Since no man is sufficient for these, let us call upon the Holy Spirit to empower Brod for this ministry. I'll just ask the leadership if you can place hands. Father, we come before you because we are dependent on you. And the same way, Father, we thank you for Brod's willingness to step out in service for you, to give you glory for no other purpose, Father. And may we be able to, Father, support him and encourage him as he will do for us as the body of Christ here at Caringbah. And Father, we ask protection over Broderick and Sheridan, because Satan won't be pleased for someone standing up for you. So, Lord, we just ask that he has your wisdom, not his own, that he has your eyes and heart, and that, Father, that he may use the gifting that you've given him to do the job that you have set before him, and that it will enable the body of Christ, all of us standing here now, to do what you want and bring glory to you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Brod and Sheridan. Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness to you and their service to CBC over many years. Lord, we thank you that you have prepared them both for this job. And we just thank you, Lord, so much for their obedience and their willingness to sacrifice themselves to walk in line with your will. Lord, we thank you for Sheridan, for her beautiful faith, for the love that she has for you. And Lord, we thank you as well for her love for Broad and the support that she gives him. Lord, would you strengthen their marriage? Would you protect them? Would you provide their every need? Would you protect their marriage? And would you make them both mighty in the Holy Spirit? Lord, we thank you for this season ahead, and we look forward to, as Broad says, the new tomorrows. Lord, would you work through Broad, and Lord, would you help us as the congregation to uphold him and our wider pastoral team in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what is to come, and most of all, we thank you for your son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Now for a really important moment. Broderick's story. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of his church, we declare you to be duly inducted and appointed as executive pastor of Caringbah Baptist Church. And as a congregation, we'd love to speak this verse over you. It is up on our screen. Together as a congregation, may we speak this over Broad and Sheridan. Together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. A significant moment in the life of our church. Please have a seat. I'm just so encouraged that God just continues to raise up co-workers in his church that can shoulder responsibility and to create the space for us to worship our King together and for his love to flow into our local community, into our nation, into Asia and into Africa. That is what we're a part of, God's worldwide mission. Welcome aboard, Broad. This is a great day. We're also going to collect our offering now as well, so I encourage you to come prepared for that and allow me to pray. Father, it's moments like this I just feel so humbled in my spirit. I just look to you, Father, and just see that you really do love your church. There is no one that loves your church like you. I am just humbled that we can share in your church that you are building for now and until Jesus returns. Yes, Father, we can't wait for Jesus to come again and judge the living and the dead. We long for that day and we say, Jesus, come soon, please come soon. But Father, until then, we thank you that we can labor shoulder to shoulder in your church in Christ as one body. And Father, thank you that you have opened your hand and provided our daily bread. And so, Lord, with these finances, this offering, We just, Lord Jesus, know that it resources so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ here within our church and around the globe. Father, we give with joy in our hearts because we just long to be a part of your kingdom coming and encouraging your children who are working hard. Thank you that we get to be in ministry with ministries like Hope Street and Far East Casting Broad. Father, we thank you for Asia's Hope and the Lighthouse. We thank you, Father, for the ministries like Chabdai that we're a part of and that this offering goes towards. So, Lord, it's a joy to give. And we thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. And our offering will be collected.
Good morning. Our reading from today is from Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions?
Thank you.
He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Oh, good morning, church. Wasn't yesterday the picnic a great day? Yeah, it was a great day. I think I came about fifth in the 35-plus boot toss. But with Phil Nevesa in there, I mean, no one else was bound to win that one. So I'm still waiting for a ribbon or something. Did you get anything for fifth? I don't even know if Phil ended up getting something. But it was a great day to gather together. And yeah, it was a really good one. Well, let's just pray before we look at God's word this morning. We're looking at loving our church, a very important thing. And so to be able to do that well, we really need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to just pray and going to ask God to, we know he's going to be with us, but we're going to ask him to really empower us this morning. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your Spirit with us. Lord, we want to be a church that's loving. We want to know how to build each other up. Lord, those things take a lot of patience and humility and sacrifice at times, Lord. And sometimes those things seem like they're beyond us. But Lord, when we have your power, when we have your Holy Spirit, anything is possible. So Lord, would you equip us as a church? Yeah, would you keep reminding us that we're a body and how we all have a part to play? And so, Lord, we just, yeah, as we preach your word this morning, we just pray that it will, your word will do whatever it needs to do, whether that's to encourage, whether to correct, inspire, whatever you need to do with your word this morning. We just pray that your people here will leave this place being closer to you, closer to one another, and really empowered by your Spirit to do what we're called to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So bodies are funny things, aren't they? I mean, some more so than others. But I guess when we're looking at church, the Apostle Paul doesn't use any other analogy to describe, I guess, the function of church than the body. So he doesn't only use it here in the section of Ephesians. He also talks about it in Romans 12, 4-5, where he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So it's fairly clear that Paul sees the analogy of the body as a useful way of looking at the function of the church, if that makes sense. And there's lots of good reasons why the body is actually a good analogy for how we should function. Because firstly, our bodies aren't meant to be stagnant, are they? We're meant to grow, we're meant to move, we're meant to exercise, keep fit, we're meant to dispose of waste, but there's ladies in the room, so we won't talk about that too much. But see, our bodies are dynamic. They're not meant to stay the same, and neither are we as a body of Christ. We have a calling on our life, on our church, where we're not meant to stay the same. You see, Adam, the original body, Adam's, he lived for 930 years, but his body didn't last forever. It was created out of the dust. No church is going to last forever. But we're called for a specific purpose, just as Adam was, for a time. We won't last forever because Christ is going to return. We're here for a purpose though, right? We're here for right now. God has got a purpose for us in the Caring Bar area and to our world. It won't last forever. And see, as well, another reason why it's a very useful analogy, I think, is because we don't realise all the things that are going on in our body just to keep us alive right now. I mean, I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure there's actually lots, maybe millions, I don't know, someone can maybe clarify later on, how many things are actually happening in our body now to keep us alive, and if one little thing goes wrong, then it could really mean death to us. So we don't realise as well all the things that are happening in the body. I mean, we're involved in our part of it, we play a part in it, but often we don't realise that there are lots of things happening every day. It's not just a Sunday thing. From Monday right through to Sunday, the body is in action and lots of things are going on and we don't even realise it. And that's exciting to me, just as in our body. We don't have to think about it. People are just playing their parts, just like our bodies, just doing the things that God's created it to do. And as well, another reason why it's important is because if we didn't have a head, it'd be pretty pointless, wouldn't it? I mean, we might be right, if we're a chicken, they can run around for a little while without a head. But see, as a body, we need a head. Because our head is the one that communicates with our body. It's in charge of it. It sends messages so that our body can actually move. Without a head, without our brains, our hand, I wouldn't even be able to do these ones. Nothing would be able to move without it. So we need a head. And the analogy here that it talks about, our head is Christ. Christ is the one who's in charge. He's the one who monitors the body. And so there are plenty of good reasons. I could probably go on and on. But these, I guess, are some of the good reasons why the body is actually a pretty good analogy for how we're meant to function. You see, Jesus loves the church. It was his idea. Us gathering together to encourage one another was not our idea, it was his. And in fact, he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So it's Christ who builds the church. But see, us here together, we have a responsibility to maintain the church. Christ has already built it, but we play a part with him in maintaining it. And I guess really that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning. How do we maintain it? How do we love? How do we care? Just as we have a shower every day, we eat, we look after our body. How do we maintain? How do we look after our body here? Because Christ has already built it. It's something that needs ongoing maintenance and work at it to be able to function as we should. And hopefully this will be a good reminder. It's been a really good reminder to me of the fact that just as we maintain our bodies, we often don't even think. We just know we've got to eat, we've got to shower, we've got to keep safe. Don't you reckon, girl? We don't even think about it. We just do it. Hopefully, as a church, we'll get to, yeah, we'll continue in that place where we just function well, maintaining things, loving one another, and we don't even kind of realize we're doing it because it's such a part of us and because God's Spirit's allowing us to do it. So that's what we're really going to be looking at this morning. And what we're going to have to kind of guide us is the core values. Now, if you have a sheet in your bulletin, should have one that looks a little bit like that. They're in there, right, Kath? Yep, beautiful. So we're going to really be using this as a guide. Now, I'm really going to be basing what I'm having to say on this. We're not preaching from this. We're going to be preaching from that passage in Ephesians. But it would be really helpful if, I guess, as we look at the message this morning, if you kind of have that in one hand, and if you also have Ephesians 4 there as well, because we're looking at the second part of our core values. Now, last week we looked at the first lot of them, and this morning we're going to be looking at the second part of it there. So at CBC, we want to be a team empowering church. So I'm just going to read what it says here under the team empowering. At CBC, our desire is to acknowledge our role in fulfilling and completing the body of Christ by contributing their own unique giftedness to the team. So everyone has a part to play. So what is this team? It's not the pastoral team. It's not the leadership team. It's everyone. Everyone here, we're all on the same team together. So that's what we're talking about with team. Now, empowering means to enable someone or to give power to. So essentially, when we talk about team empowering, we're really talking about everyone enabling, if that makes sense, enabling everyone to be able to play their part. That's what we're talking about with team empowering. And essentially, everyone has a gift to play in it. Now, if we want to use a sporting analogy, we kind of need offense and defense. And God has created everyone uniquely and differently to play different parts within the church. Now, in regard to empower someone, I really think that there's two parts to being able to empower someone. Firstly, we actually need to allow people to use their gifts and not hinder them. If God has given certain gifts in a certain area, we need to allow people to be able to play their part. Because as I said, we all have a different part to play. So as a church, we need to be able to put people in places where they can actually use their gift and not hinder them. But we also need to equip people, because I think sometimes people don't realize we have a certain gift in an area. We think, I come along to church, I'm not on the pastoral team, I'm not up front, I don't do anything in leadership, I don't have any strong gifts that I can contribute. But the fact is, God has given everyone gifts. He's given everyone even ministry gifts to be able to contribute to the body. So sometimes people actually, the first step is knowing, yep, God has given me a gift. And because we might not have used that gift, you might need a little equipping in that area. So it will be good to come alongside other people who have that gift as well. Because if you don't exercise or if you don't go to the gym, don't play any sport, then you're probably going to be quite unfit. And it's same with our gifts. Some people don't realize they have a gift. And hopefully this morning you'll realize we all have a gift. But sometimes we need a little equipping in it. So to empower really means to allow someone, but it also means at times we're going to need a little equipping there. And in Christ's church, he gave these gifts. He gave the gifts of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, these gifts, they're kind of for doing. They're for doing things in the body. But probably even more than that, they're for being. See, we are a gift to one another. That's one way we can really look at this. The gift that he gives is me to everyone else, and the gift is for everyone together to be able to help one another. So if I have a gift in a certain area, then I may be really helpful to someone else who may not have that gift, or someone who may be developing that gift. So we can all really be a gift to one another. So the gifts are not only for doing, but they're also for being. Now, so if you think you might have a gift in a certain area, like I said, the best thing to do is just to get around people who have that gift. If you think you have the gift of being an evangelist, then the best thing you can do in our church is get alongside other people who are like gifted. Yeah, was it? I bet that was Vetti. I can't even see. And if you want to say be prophetic, then you can see Nick up there. But we all have gifts here. And if you want to develop your gifts, then get around people who are like gifted. We don't all have to We're not all perfectly balanced within ourselves, because if we were all balanced within ourselves, we wouldn't need one another. I wouldn't need Vetti. I wouldn't say evangelism is my strongest gift, but we need people like Vetti who can help equip us and teach us, because we're meant to do this thing together, and if we had all the gifts, then it'd just be like a one-man soccer team. It'd be pretty pointless. It'd just be a superstar, but that's not how it is, because God has created us to relate to one another and to love one another. And part of that is being able to come alongside one another and help one another. Have that humility to say, yeah, I'm lacking in that area, but that's okay. God hasn't equipped me to do everything. He's brought other brothers and sisters around me to be able to help out there. Like, so at the moment, there's been a bit of a push on small groups at the start of this year. Just for instance, even with a ministry like small groups, there's a lot of people who need to be involved with a lot of different gifts. We need basically someone to be able to coordinate it, because if there's no coordinator, then no one knows where they are and what the groups are all about, and so people may be put off. We need people to communicate it, and sometimes that can be done in a creative way, because otherwise, again, people won't know what's going on. But then within the groups themselves, if there's no pastoral carer in there, people may not feel like they want to stay on because they're not feeling loved and supported. And if there's no teacher in there as well, they may not grow in God's word. So there's a whole lot of things that we actually need, even within a simple thing like our small group ministry. And not every single one does the whole lot. For me, I would probably, the thing that I would gravitate to in all that is coming alongside and pastorally caring in a small group for someone. I'm probably not going to be the best at coordinating the whole thing, but what's everyone laughing at there? I don't get it. Maybe you can have a chat to me later on. But see, and for so long, I think I have just beat myself up for not being good in every area. But church, I hope this morning as well that you can realize we don't need to beat ourselves up, because God has particularly gifted and equipped us in certain ways. And we just have to be faithful to that part that God's called us to. We're a part of the body. We're not the whole body. So hopefully this morning, you can, if you're in the habit of doing that as well, saying, I'm not good at evangelism, or I'm not good at such and such, that's okay. Just be faithful to the things that God has called you to and the way he's gifted you, and allow other people to come in and help you in that. And that's certainly something that I've, a journey that I've been on for a while now. Because I've often thought, well, I'm in this role as a youth pastor, but probably evangelism isn't the strongest thing that I would gravitate to. Whereas I would much more say that the pastoral care side of things I would gravitate to. But the reality is that within our youth leadership team, we've got other people who want to be able to reach out. We don't have to be all the same. In fact, we're not meant to be all the same. We need one another in the body there. And so hopefully, like I said this morning, you can take that burden off, knowing that you don't have to be everything to everyone. And then secondly, as a church, we want to be love compelled at CBC. Verse 2 in Ephesians 4 there says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. At CBC, our desire is to continue to be challenged by the life of Christ, by his compassion and mercy, and that we would make decisions driven by Christ's love for us and his love for the world. This means that CBC will be a generous and loving church. Don't forget, when we're talking about the church here, it is us, the people. It doesn't mean you don't turn up at the working bee here next week, because those sort of things are important as well. But the church here we're talking about is loving one another, is CBC. It's the people. So we're gathered here today as a church, but then we'll go and scatter, and then we'll keep going. We'll gather and we'll keep scattering. But that's the church that we're talking about here. Now, I think as well, when we interact with one another in the church, I think it's important to look at, how do we do that? What's our motivation for serving in the church and for interacting in the church? And I think the best way to know what our motivation is if we ask ourselves in a genuine way, whose interests am I looking out for here? Because I think there can be lots of different motivations that we can have to serve in a certain ministry and to engage with people in the church. I think quite often our own convenience can get in the way. We just do things because it's convenient for us, or we may not come alongside certain people because we don't have the time to help them. Sometimes we do things because we want to, if we're being completely honest here, because we just want to look good to other people. We want to feel like, we want it to come across like we have it all together, like we're serving well, we're serving in all these kind of different areas, so I've just got to keep doing things, I've got to keep up an appearance. Not all the time, but we've got to, I think we really need to admit that sometimes that happens in the church. And sometimes as well, we can do things because we don't want to feel guilty. We don't want other people to ask that question, oh, what are you doing in the church? And we kind of don't feel like we're doing much, and so like we better do something because other people are going to start to say something. Now, I know that can, these things aren't easy to kind of look at and admit, but I think we just really need to be honest with ourselves because these things can get in the way. And I think the things that really can drive us sometimes in the church, apart from love, are things like duty and fear and guilt. So it may even be in our interactions with other people, we feel like we may have to be nice, etc. But I think this morning, if that's the case, then maybe it's something that God's confronting us with, because the idea of how we interact with one another is love. It's looking out for the genuine interests of another person. We serve because we care. We serve in, say, the youth ministry or kids ministry because we care about the kids, we care about the youth. We don't just do it because we feel like we have to do it. My prayer as a church is that we really work out where our hearts are, where God is calling us to, and then we can kind of, when we have that sense of freedom, that we can do it with all the joy and passion that we have. Because I think sometimes other things can get in the way. And you know what? I've got to admit, I've probably been guilty in the past of doing, of serving somewhere because I feel like I have to. But you know, when it leads into a next point, freedom encountering, I really believe as a church, when we're actually free, it means that we're serving in areas that we have that passion about, and we're doing it with the right motive. It's not doing it because we have to. It's because Christ has loved us first, and then as an overflow of that, we want to go out there and serve other people. We're compelled by it. We're drawn to it. And sometimes it doesn't happen in the church, unfortunately. But my prayer is that we can be a church that does things because we love one another. And I think it also needs to be said this morning as well that some people don't actually know how to love themselves, if we're being honest. And if that's you here this morning, then I would really encourage you to really seek God in that, to seek other people to come around you, because it's so hard to love other people and to love the body if we don't even love ourselves. So maybe if that's you this morning, certainly it may be a hard realization, but I really strongly encourage you, with the help of other people here, to have God really just intervene into that, to come and speak truth into that area, because you can't love another person when we don't actually love yourself. So if that's a word for someone this morning, I pray that we can start on that journey of working through that. And again, I don't just stand up here saying I have it all together. There's been times in my life when I felt like I probably haven't loved myself as God has loved me and valued myself like God has. And it can be quite the journey. But it really needs to be, I really do believe it needs to be said, because it's hard to be compelled by love as a church and have everyone functioning in the body as we should be, when if there's these barriers to actually being able to be compelled by love. Okay, the third core value, is freedom encountering. Verse 16 says, each part does its work. So at CBC, our desire is to show respect for one another as being made in the image of God. We pray that CBC will grow into the true freedom of the Spirit as God enables us as a congregation. So as we were sharing before, there's freedom because everyone plays a different part. There is, in the church, there is no place for a one-size-fits-all approach. We often do hear of sort of churches or ministries within a church saying we need to be more evangelistic or we need to be more whatever it is. And we hear that quite regularly. But I think when people say things like that, what it's indicating is that's their heart, that's their gift. We don't all have to be whatever it is that God hasn't called us to be. There's freedom when we can realize how God has gifted us, what our passions are, how He's shaped our personality, and then really flourish in that area. We're not all meant to be the same. Just like in a soccer team, there's different parts. We need offense and defense. How would it be if we're just all fullbacks? We might defend well, but we're not likely to score. And if we're all up front, we may score some goals, but we're going to let a whole lot in as well. And so in a soccer team, there's a lot of strategy that goes on there. You need offense and defense. And I remember when I was younger, I used to play striker just because I think I couldn't be bothered running once the ball had gone behind me. So they kind of figured, put him up front. And I think for a long time, I kind of, as well, I thought, oh, should I actually be chasing the ball once it goes behind me and feeling bad that I'm not doing my part? But in a sense, when I was a forward up front, I was meant to be up front, and what I was meant to actually do is score the goals. So if I had to chase the ball around, firstly, I'd probably be exhausted. And if I went back to try to defend and the ball went forward again, I wouldn't be in the right spot to score the goal, if that makes sense. And so I had a specific part to play. Once the ball had gone past me, there's other team members there. I just have to trust them. I think it's the same in the church. We need to really be, we need to serve in the areas where God has gifted us and not beat ourselves up for not doing everything, because there's other people here. We have support. Let's as a church trust one another that God has given us all the gifts that we need to function well as a church and to love one another. All we need to do is be faithful in the areas that God has called us to. We don't need to worry about whether the defense back there is going to do their job. Because for me, like when I was playing soccer, I was never gifted to defend. And so I kind of, you might wonder where the other people are. But the reality is God has gifted us in different ways to be able to do that. And so, again, my prayer is that we as a church can have freedom to just say, okay, God has gifted me in this way. How can I use that to serve the body? And now, I know there are needs all across the church. But I think what can happen too often is that people serve in an area where there is simply a need. And there may be times in the church when that happens, when we just need for a season to be able to serve somewhere. But I think if we serve too long in areas that we're not gifted at, we're really probably not going to be... we're going to probably burn out. We're going to get sick of working in that ministry. Like I said, sometimes there may be a season where there's a real need in an area. But you do it too long, and I think we're not really going to function as we should, because God has gifted us uniquely with the certain ways that He has gifted us. So we don't want to play out of position. I think probably I've been involved in different kind of ministries over the years in church, and I probably have played a little bit out of position sometimes. And that can be okay for a time. But as a church, let's play in the position that God's called us to. Whether it's to evangelize, whether it's to be a pastor. And being a pastor doesn't necessarily mean you have to be up front and on the leadership team. God has given pastoral gifts to a lot of people who probably don't even realize it. Okay, the fourth core value is call inspired. Verse 1 says, from Ephesians, says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. At CBC, our desire is to be enthusiastic, passionate and active in mission in our local context and when possible abroad. So again, our calling just means to be set apart for a specific purpose. So as a church, our calling ultimately together is to make disciples of all nations and also to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Can I hear an amen with all that? To proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That's what our calling as a church is, to make disciples of all nations. But you know what? Individually as well, we have a calling. Doesn't mean that you work full-time in the church, but you have a part to play. And when we all come together, that's what brings harmony and unity in the church. It's not that we all think the same, we all act the same, have the same gifts. Like I said, God's created us uniquely, and when we come together, we can all then, our combined callings really work well together to bring harmony in the church. But I want to remind you this morning that you do have a calling in this body, whatever it is. I know a lot of people in the church just have a beautiful heart where they want to come alongside people who are struggling or just to help them in their faith, and they don't realize they have that gift of pastoral care, that real pastor heart. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, continue doing that. because you're probably going to gravitate to doing that anyway. Now, there are other people as well who are great at evangelism. If that's what you're good at, keep working in that area. If you're prophetic, then encourage the body, encourage people around you, come alongside other people who are prophetic as well. So we need all the gifts working together, and we all have a calling. We may not realize it, just like you may not realize that you have a gift, but we all have a calling. There's something, there's a part that we can play. The body's made up of lots of different parts, and somehow, I don't know, but it all comes together and we can move around and do what it's meant to. I don't know science, but when it does all come together somehow, just like it does in the body when we all use our gifts. Fifth one is community building. Verse 12 says, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's a big part of why we actually gather together. You can't have a community if you don't gather together. And like I said, there's a lot of people who don't realize that you have a part to play in building up the community. Really, once again, I want to encourage you. If you have whatever the gift you have, then we need to be able to use it. Some people don't realize they have it. And I pray as well that we can be a church that learns to love one another. And that may mean getting to know people during the services and having things like the picnic yesterday was a great way for us to build our community. But the only way we can really build up our community is in love. And so that's the idea behind the church, that it's a community that's built up. You build people up when you care for them, when you teach them, when you evangelize and then bring new people into the church, if that makes sense. That builds the body up. It's meant to grow. The last one as well, growth committed. At CBC, we're a growth committed church. I'm just going to read verses 13 and 14 from the passage in Ephesians there. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. See, God's plan is that every believer is built up in maturity. That's why we need everyone. That's why we need all these gifts that are mentioned in this passage. We need the gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. If we're lacking in any of those areas, then we may be a little bit weak in those places. But we believe as well that God, it is important that we use our gifts, but God is really probably even more interested in who we are as people. He's interested in our personal growth. And if we as a church are going to be built up, then we have a commitment to one another to grow personally. That would mean to grow in our faith, to grow to be more Christ-like every day. But it also means to grow in things like what we're believing, our emotions, because all those things affect the body. And we really at CBC here really believe in mentoring and discipleship and training and being equipped, because without those things it's really hard to grow. And I think sometimes as well we really need to be able to test our hearts, in community. Why do we sometimes react the way we do to other people? Why do we think the things that we do? See, our whole life is a process of learning to grow. I realize that now. Some people who are a bit older may have realized that a long time ago, that we're never going to get to perfection. But I really want to encourage us as a church to commit to growing personally in your life, whatever that is. For me, one way that I think I've really grown over the last few years is confronting some lies in my life that I've believed about myself, about others, and about God. And that's my personal journey over the last few years. But I think we all have different ways that we can grow. And I really want to encourage you to do the best that you can to be Christ-like and to remove any obstacle and barrier from us being able to be a blessing to one another. Because I realized when I had a whole lot of lies in my life that I had believed for so long, I wasn't maturing within myself, And I probably wasn't going to be able to really encourage other people and help other people in the body like I could have. And so when we're at our best, now we're not perfect, we're never going to be, but I really encourage us as a church, grow as much as you can, because you will find a lot more freedom in that as well. It's on that personal level that you will, your personal maturity and the way that's, and your relationship with God will just really zoom after that, after you realize that, yeah, when you start to remove some of those barriers, if that makes sense. But also, we can help one another. When I'm at my best, I can help the body the best, and likewise with everyone else as well. Okay, in Ephesians, just as we wrap up, we might get the band to come up if that's okay. In the next chapter after Ephesians 4, in chapter 5, verses 29 to 30, Paul writes, "No one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body." So just in wrapping up today, I think there's a couple of key things that we can look at in regard to how do we care for our body. I think one way we can do it is to value ourselves and the way that God's created us. When we realize how we're gifted and we're using that, we're valuing the body. When we value all the body parts as well, when we realize that everyone is gifted in different ways, certainly within the certain kind of ministry gifts, when we realize that the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor and teacher are all important and really help to balance the whole body, I believe we're valuing the body and loving it. So, and when we realize that everyone's joint effort together, the independent things that we do, actually help to move the body, we're loving it. I just pray as well that our motivation for how we serve and for how we interact with one another is love. And like I said, the best way to test that is ask yourselves, what's your motivation? And if there's any area in this which you've been challenged by this morning, I really pray that we can seek God. Because like I said, when we're at our best, the body can be at our best. I want to encourage you as well. Flourish how God has gifted you and where he has planted you. When you know how he's gifted you, then you can really flourish for God in ways that you wouldn't if you're serving in an area where you don't feel like you're gifted. I want to challenge you to seek God in that this morning. And just as we, before the band plays as well, I'm just going to pray because to be able to do this, to love our church, to grow as we're meant to, we really need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pray that the church, that as a church, that we'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I'll do this every time I preach, but I believe to do anything in the Christian life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't do anything without it. So I'm just going to pray over our congregation, if that's okay. I'm going to pray that as a congregation, we're going to be one that's team empowering, love compelled, freedom encountering, call inspired, community building, and growth committed. So, yeah, Holy Spirit, we call on you as a church because we need it to love one another. A natural desire is to look out for our own needs. We need to be empowered by you, Holy Spirit. To be patient and humble and to persevere is a work of your Spirit. It's an overflow from that, Lord. We can't do those things on our own. Lord, help us to grow in our faith and into the people who you've called us to be. Help us to remove, bring, yeah, I pray for people in our congregation who have, there are barriers that are stopping them from growing, whatever that may be. Lord, would you reveal that to them this morning? And may we as a church be able to come alongside these people to help grow and to be able to help grow our body. Holy Spirit, empower us this week to go and take the gospel message to Caringbah, to the Shire, to Australia and to the world. Again, we need your empowering, we need your equipping to do that, Father. Father, help us to value each other, to value that we're not all going to have the same ideas and we're not all gifted in the same way. Help us to respect one another, Father. Help us to have such a respect that we can work well as a team, knowing that we play a part and our brothers and sisters here play other parts, and they're all important. Without certain parts of the body, we're going to be weak and crippled, and you know that, Father. We just pray that all the gifts of your Spirit will be in operation and used in this church to build up the body, to make it work and function as it should. And we just pray that you put right people into the right places to be able to serve you well. Father, may we just have a heart to really love our church, to love this community, and to want to be able to do the best we can to maintain it. With your help, Father, we need your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.